have your Bibles tonight. We'll look at several verses tonight. Choosing right words. I know we don't think a lot about this, but if you have your Bible, Psalm 19. We're going to take our outline really tonight from Psalm 19 and Psalm 17. Psalm 19, Psalm 17, Colossians 4, 6. We'll take our text from those three verses. Psalm 19, famous psalm. Listen very carefully. Every one of us here tonight, myself included, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would take and touch my heart, that I see things in Scripture that would cause me to be more like Christ in my choice of words. All of us in this room can learn that tonight, can improve tonight. Just three simple thoughts. We must purpose for our mouth not to transgress. We've got to purpose it, plan it. Two, we must protect our mouth from vain words. Protect us. And three, we must pick only acceptable words. Very simple. I just hope you can remember it. Three P's. Purpose, protect, and pick. Now, all of us in this room, those three things are pretty simple. Notice, if you would, in Psalm 19, verse number 10. Moreover, to be desired of they than gold, speaking the words of God. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, speaking of the words of God. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. So tonight, in you keeping the words of God, memorizing it, hiding in your heart, and obeying it, there's great reward to you, all of us. I hope you can see that tonight. Notice, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Who can understand our own errors? We need the Holy Spirit to show them to us. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And some of our secret faults are the words that I use. Anybody here ever said something or had someone come back to you and say, you said such and such, and basically we had hurt them and didn't even know it? Anybody ever had that happen? Don't raise your hand. That's probably happened to all of us. Because we use words so frequently and so fluently. Notice verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're going to come back to that verse. When it comes to picking the right words, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Now, notice, if you would, Psalm 17, verse 3. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. Everything is right in my heart. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. And that's what I want to encourage everyone here tonight to do. I want to get you to purpose in your heart that your mouth would not transgress. Transgress, cross the line. Cross the line of God. Cross the line with your family. Cross the line with your mate. Cross the line with your brother or sister. Notice, if you would, he says, uses this word purpose. And literally the word purpose, Hebrew word, is to consider or having forethought. It's to devise a plan. In the positive sense, it's to think about something before it happens and be ready. So I want to purpose in my heart to use the right words. Now I'm going to take just a minute and just read to you. I'm going to give you a couple of, well, several verses. And I want you to listen to them. And you can see the difference between right words and wrong words. Psalm 55. Listen to this. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, but they were like drawn swords. And then the next phrase is a famous one. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. When we speak with ulterior motives in our heart, we create a burden for other people. That the only way to really for them to do the right thing is to take it to the Lord. Notice, if you would, verse 5 of chapter 56. Every day they wrest my words. They twist my words. Notice 64:3. Who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. You get a picture of someone that's hurtful with their words, the bitter words. They just say what they think. They don't care how it hurts. An arrow is one that sticks. They send an arrow of a bitter word and it hurts. And only can you go to the Lord and cast your burden upon the Lord to pull that arrow out and, Lord, heal the wound so that I can still love that person. Words are hurtful. Or look at your Bible and turn to to Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So we want to learn to refrain our lips. We want to learn to say, Lord, please help me not to say the things that would cause hurt to other people. Now, notice, if you, number one, to purpose. Two things are part of purposing. Number one, ask the Lord be the judge. Look back in Psalm 19. Look in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth be, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Acceptable or pleasing. Acceptable are things that you agree with. They're agreeable. Lord, I want my words to be acceptable to you. So I want you to be the judge. You'll notice he says, not only let the words of my mouth, but the meditations of my heart. Now, we usually think about things before we say them a lot of times. Now, there are times when we're hasty with our words. We'll get to that a little bit later. We speak without thinking. But our purpose is, Lord, help me to think before I speak. And so we ask the Lord to be the judge of our words. Our goal is to think before we speak. But if we do speak before we think, we want the Lord to say, Dave Pittman, that was not a right word. And at that point in time, I can say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And then I can go to that purpose and say, I didn't say that right. A pastor and someone that's busy, whether it be myself, I speak a lot. This is sermon number 3,966 from this pulpit. So there's bound to be a lot of things that I've said that maybe the way I said it, I need to have said differently. Your Holy Spirit has touched my heart over some things from time to time that I said it. I should have said that differently, Lord, and I'm sorry. Next time I'll say it differently. Would guide my words. And before this message, Lord, guide my words that I would say it in such a way that it would be acceptable to you and pleasing to the people, and where they could take it. And that it would help change their lives. They too would come to you and say, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. And the meditation of my heart, Lord, I want you to be pleased with every word that I say. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, then we have to learn the words of God. We have to let the Lord be the judge, but then we've got to learn the right words. It takes the Spirit of God to show us the right things to say in many occasions. When we're under pressure, when somebody is shooting arrows at us, that's the time when we say, Lord, I need your wisdom to know what to say. I think of David when he came home and he had taken the Ark of God to Jerusalem, and He had rejoiced and the whole city was rejoicing, and his wife was embarrassed by his unkingly-like rejoicing. And she despised him in her heart. And he came home and she says, "Wasn't the king glorious today? Oh, I wish that David would have taken this verse." Now, at this point in time, David is older than this passage. When David is young, he was a man after God's own heart. But as he got older, and understand this, and became king. Now, this is one thing we have to learn. The more position that we hold, the more proud of the positions we hold, the less restraint we usually use. David is now king of the greatest nation on earth in Israel. And he can say anything he wants to, and who's going to stop him? So because of that, he can say what he wants. So his wife comes in and says something to him that she shouldn't have said. And at that point in time, if he were to listen to Psalm, that which he wrote, Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth be acceptable, O Lord." He could have looked at Michael and said, "Michael, I'm sorry I didn't please you, but I was rejoicing before the Lord. Could you forgive me for the appearance that I was unkingly? I didn't mean to do that." And she could have backed down and said, "Well, maybe I was a little harsh. Well, could we just pray about it together and walk on?" "Sure. Lord, help me to be wise. Help me to do things that are encouraging to Michael. Help her to be pleased with me and with you." Things could have been completely different. But David didn't follow his own purpose. Everybody in this room has got the purpose in your heart that you're going to use right words, that you're going to use the words that are acceptable in his sight. Let him be the judge before you say it. "Lord, is this okay?" It would save us. It would save our relationships. It would change the fellowship we have in our homes. It would remove the air of heavy air that hangs in the house when we said something and our spirit is stirred up like David's was. Can you imagine walking through the house with Michael and David there? That would have been something heavy in the air. I'm sure all of the servants were walking around quietly on eggshells. Why? Because David didn't handle things the way he said, "Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight." Now, you'll notice, if you would, you can see that there are times whenever we look at our lives and we must realize that, "Lord, I want things to be right. I want things to be good in thy sight. Lord, I want you to be, I want to give, use the right word." Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 25. I want you to see this verse. This is our goal. Purpose that this is your goal. Proverbs 25:11. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." Fitly spoken, it's the right word at the right time with the right attitude. Three things. It's the correct word at the right time with the correct attitude. If we can say, "Lord, help me memorize Proverbs 25:11. Lord, help me to choose words fitly spoken in every event," then Paul and Barnabas would have never had the infamous debate over John Mark and split up. Words cause more splits than anything else in this life. "Well, you don't know what he said to me. Well, you don't know what she said to me." Words express feelings of the heart. Make sure that you say, "Lord, are my words okay with you? If my heart is wrong, change it. Search me, O God, and know me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And change my heart. Folks, being a great Christian is a few simple steps. It's letting the Lord be the judge of the words that you use, of the thoughts that you have. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's trusting Him to let you say fit words. Take your Bible and turn now to Colossians chapter 4. Very famous verse. Colossians 4. Notice, if you would, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom. What is wise? What is wisdom in your speech? Verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Here it is. Here's the protection. Seasoned with salt. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, I want to take just a minute. You've got a purpose in your heart. I want to encourage everybody in this room. Purpose in your heart. Lord, I want a purpose in my heart to use fit words. Apples of gold and pictures of silver. Lord, I can't choose those words myself every time, but you can help me. Let the Lord be your conscience, be your guide. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. But before you speak, you have to say, Lord, is this okay with you? Let your speech, now I didn't write it. Let your speech be always with grace. So that tells me if you and I would yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, would you help me? That we could use fit words consistently. Now, number two, we must protect our mouth from vain words. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to notice this. Look at verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Now watch this. Vain words. Words that have no eternal value. Vanity is a word that is not worth anything. It has no value to it. Okay? Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So in other words, God says, I'm going to get angry at you if you use vain words. Words that have no eternal value to it. Now look up into Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication. The word corrupt is the word sapros, which is the root is putrefied. It's something you'd look at and makes you sick. So he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So he says, your goal is to say, well, I don't want to say anything. Now, let me just take a few of those words. What would they be? But remember, all these words, all these type of words make God angry and bring judgment down upon us. Judgment is we're shamed because we have to go back and take our words back. I shouldn't have said that. That's a bit of judgment. Because the Holy Spirit touches your heart and says, you shouldn't have said that. That was an unfit word. Okay? I want you to notice, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 29:20. Proverbs 29:20. And I want you to see a hasty word. Look with me if you would. Seest thou man that is hasty in his words? In other words, he speaks before he thinks. He speaks before he lifts it up to the Lord. Now watch this. Seest thou man that's hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. And I'm certain that none of us in this room say, just call me a fool. None of us want to be that way. So in order to avoid foolish words, we've got to be able to say, I'm not going to be hasty with my words. Now, very quickly, I want you to listen to this. In the NFL, a quarterback, playing quarterback is probably the hardest position to play in the NFL. Because you go up to the line of scrimmage and you say, hut, hut, and you have got from the time the ball is snapped till the time you make a decision on where to throw the ball across 50 yards of field, you've got 2.5 seconds. And you got 300-pound men charging at you trying to kill you, and you're trying to ignore them and go through your steps. So ignore the pressure, take the ball and look. Step one, down and out, covered. Step two, down the seam, covered. Step three, running back out of the backfield, throw it over to him in 2.5 seconds. Now, young quarterbacks come in, and they've got so much physical talent, they go to 2.5 seconds, hold it till three, and get zapped. So young quarterbacks get sacked more than all the older quarterbacks. You know why? The older quarterbacks learn, I don't want that 300-pound guy on me. I'm going to get rid of the ball. So they throw it 20 rows into the stands before let the guy hit them. You know why? They've learned to think before they do. Young quarterbacks throw interceptions. Hasty choices. And only the quarterback that learns to think before he throws becomes wealthy and successful. And only the Christians that think before they speak become wealthy spiritually, are considered as wonderful, pleasant people, are considered to be people like Barnabas or Daniel or Joseph. Think before we speak. Now, in football, the ball is snapped. You have 2.5 seconds. And it's said in the first year and the second year, usually the third year, things slow down. So when the ball is snapped, your mind is working as you're stepping back and you're ready to throw the ball and you're thinking all the steps back. So by the time you get to the back, you're ready to throw the ball. You've already gone through your possessions. It's a natural thing. You're learning how to think quickly. And as a Christian, God wants you and I to learn to think quickly. Not hastily, but Lord, is this word, somebody says something to us. It's hurtful. Lord, and we want to say something back. Lord, what should I say? Give me the right words. Lord, help me to let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you. And then we say, I'm not going to say that. And then you say, well, may the Lord bless you. You've chosen a fit word. Apples of gold and pictures of silver. Very few Christians purpose to pick the right words and to push aside to say, no, I'm going to protect myself from the wrong words. Now, let's take just a minute. Hasty words. Those are words that you've got to protect yourself from. Don't say before you think. Number two, curse words. Well, we looked at that one this morning. If you're in Sunday school, between Shimei, he used curse words and it got him killed eventually. Not the words, but the mindset behind them. I can say whatever I want to say and get away with it. No, we can't. There's a payday for everything. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof the day of judgment. Matthew 25. Notice, if you would, there are lying words. Look in Ephesians. Chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So he says, look, put away lying. Don't use lying words. Now, a lying word is a word that's meant to deceive somebody from what the truth is. Hey, honey, you're late. Yeah, well, I had to stop and get gas. But the truth was, you left late in the first place. Or the truth is this, or the truth is that. It's a part of the truth, but it's a word meant to deceive. Always let's put away lying. Protect ourselves from lies. Now, everybody in this room has lied. Not that we meant to, necessarily, but sometimes somebody asks us something and we didn't want to hurt them, we didn't want to get in trouble, so we said something that wasn't really true. It had a portion of truth with it, but do you know what? How much arsenic it takes in a cup of pure water to kill you? Just a drop. So we've got to learn to say, Lord, I want to have pure words, no lying, no deception in my words. You know what that does? It lets you be trusted. You want to be trusted? Put away lying. Okay, another word is hateful words. Psalm 109:3. If you have your Bible, turn there. Psalm 109:3. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. And usually hateful words are words that are without cause. In other words, that person thinks there's a cause, but in reality, it ought to have been forgiven. So hateful words can be said by all of us. Those are words that have some issue in the back of their heart that caused them, that was unforgiven. So it's a word, it's a hateful word. It's what David used. The Lord chose me before your father. It's a hateful word. It's to try to hurt Michael. A hateful word is to try to hurt the other person. And so you're not going to punch them, but you're going to give them a hateful word. A word that's got some anger behind it. A word that's got some hurt behind it. Some force behind it. Now, I want you to notice, then there are shameful words. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 12. Now verse 10 says this, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. You're going to notice a theme throughout Scripture. For the great Christian, he's always looking what's pleasing to the Lord. What's acceptable to the Lord. It's not necessarily what does the Lord demand of his children. Yes, there are laws of God. Put away lying from yourself. I expect you to tell the truth. But there's so many more words that, Lord, should it use this word or this word? The best word. The right word. The word that would do the most encouragement and the least damage. We rarely think like that. So you'll notice he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then listen to this. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. So there's shameful words. There are things that people have done in secret, and words get out, and there's gossip and rumor. It's a shame to even speak about those things. I don't bring up a lot of immoral things and use explicit words from the pulpit because of that verse. Shameful words are not to be spoken about. Oh, that doesn't mean you're not clear. Yes, we're not to commit immorality. That's clear. But we don't have to get into the nitty-gritty of shameful words. We have to be careful. Every one of you in this room, a shameful word is whenever you get so explicit with someone about something that they did that it becomes hurtful. And God looks at it and says, oh my, can't believe you're saying that. Shameful words. Notice, if you would, these words are, look in verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Foolish talking are words that are not thought about before they're said. You just get in a group and you just say whatever comes to your mind. Nor jesting. It's poking fun at somebody. Sarcasm could be a part of jesting. It's just using words that are partially truthful, but they're hurtful. You know someone has a weakness and you exploit the weakness by saying something about it, either to them privately or publicly. Notice, if you would. Nor jesting, which are not convenient. They're not, and that's the word for fitting. They're not right, but rather giving of thanks. So in other words, you and I have certain words, and he says, look, you know these words that people use. Young people, you're at school and you hear other young people talking about certain things with words that you look at and say, what are y'all talking about that for? Those, I wouldn't discuss that. Somebody's got to say, I'm going to purpose in my heart not to say those things. And maybe somebody does something to you. You've got a purpose in your heart. I'm not going to try to hurt you back. Those are vengeful words. Romans chapter 13, he says, vengeance is of the Lord, not up to us. We're to see how we can help people. Now, every one of us, we've got to have a filter on our words. Things we ought not to say. Things that are hateful words. Things that are vengeful words. Things that are words that are half-truths. They're lying words. Things that are hasty. We just say it without thinking. Things that corrupt words. Curse words. There are people that curse and don't even think about it. I want you to know something. Cursing is never right. It's never right. In your home or outside your home or with nobody around, you shouldn't think of the words. You shouldn't say the words. Let your speech be always with grace. It can't be curse words. My father, I watched him get up and get in the car and drive off and never come home again. But I never heard him curse. So I had a certain amount of respect for my dad. Because he was around filthy plumbers all the time. I can remember the first guy I ever worked with had the most filthy mouth. Not as bad as my uncle, but he had a filthy mouth that, well, I'm telling you, all kinds. I learned new words. I was 14 years old, and my dad put me with him. His name was, he's gone now, but his name was Fred. And he was a drunkard, and he drank a lot on Friday nights and cursed all the time. And man, I tell you, he's not a plumber I'd want in my house, but he could fix anything in plumbing. He was gifted at it. And so I looked at it. I tried to learn from him, but not be like him. At 14 years old, I had to learn to decipher. Lord, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, even though he shoots arrows of venom. Even though he curses a lot. Folks, somebody's got to stand up. And our young people, you need to learn to say, I'm not going to use those words. Lord, are these words acceptable in your sight? Have you chosen to let the Lord be the approval, the prover of your words? Now then, notice, purpose in our heart to speak the right words. Protect our lips. Lord, please show me the things I ought not to say. Lord, let me see those things. Let me think of them. And Lord, check my thoughts with you. Casting every thought obedient to Christ. We must pick only acceptable words. Now, acceptable is a word that is important to use. It's something that, Lord, does it please you? It's not a word that I can get by with. Lord, is this the best word, an acceptable word to you? Is it of the highest form, Lord? Are you pleased with this word? Now, notice it's the same thing in the New Testament. That was in Psalm 119:14. But now notice, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4. Notice this. Verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, and we very rarely say this last phrase, that you may know how you, and here's this word, ought to answer every man. Ought to. Now, ought and necessary fit, same word. What you ought to say, what's the best word? What fits, what you ought to say. Acceptable word, what I ought to say. Notice what he says. That you may know what you ought to say. Look at the order. Let your speech be always with grace. I want to pick the right words, but I want to filter out the wrong words so that I can find what I ought to say. And that's the order. First, I want to purpose, Lord. I want to say the right things. I want to be acceptable in your sight. Lord, help me to learn gracious words. Help me to always practice to say gracious words. Lord, help me to filter out all of the negative words, all the words that I ought not to say. And then, Lord, give me the right words, the fit word. Now, there are a lot of people that they don't really care about what they say. But they are not pleasing to the God of heaven. Can't be. Let your speech be always with grace. Now, grace is kind. favorable, uplifting, and peaceable. Grace, gracious words are peaceable words. Proverbs 15:1, he says, you know, that we're to use soft words. You know, soft word is a peaceable word. It's a word that doesn't come with attitude. And soft words turn away wrath. It's the right word. It's the fitting word. And so as I look at it, I see what we ought to say. Turn to Hebrews 15. I want you to see this verse real quickly. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A gracious answer turneth away wrath. A gracious word. Gracious is two things. It's the right word with the right spirit. You can choose the right word and have the wrong spirit and still not use gracious words. It requires both. The right word and the right spirit. Lord, help me. Now, folks, listen to this. Everybody in this room would struggle with this. Lord, let my words be acceptable in thy sight. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Lord, help me to find the fit word, the right word, to speak to my mate. When Susan was very ill, and she would come out of dialysis, she would be so limp. Dialysis did not go well for Susan. It saves a lot of people's lives. Pat Arnold has been doing dialysis, I think, for 8 years. Susan would do it for, was doing it for 6 or 8 months, and I'd have to pick her up out of the chair and put her in a wheelchair. She was just like a limp rag. I'd take her out to the car, pick her up and put her in the car. And I would sit in the car, and I remember saying, Lord, what do I say? Do I say, would you like to go out to get something to eat? Or do I say, would you like something to eat? Honey, what can I do for you now? Now, I've been in dialysis all afternoon. I've studied. Guess what I am, Brother Scott? Hungry. Okay? But there's a right word. Forget me. And that's the first step in a right word. Forget you. What is the right word? And then the right attitude. And I look over and see her, and she's struggling to be a pleasant wife. I have so much admiration for her. So her fight to be sweet caused me to say, I've got to be gracious. She could have got out of there and said, just take me home. I never heard that. She could have gotten out of there and just said, just get me out of this place. In my mind, I thought that. But apparently she thought that and gave it to the Lord and said, I'm not going to say that. I'm not even going to think that. And that's why when I see her, I see this giant of a lady that loved the Lord with all of her heart, that watched every word that she said. And when she's dying, she still had the right words. I said, Lord, help me to be like that. I can't even live and say the right words. Right words. Notice, if you would, we'll close with this. Look at Ephesians 4:29. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There's the negative. But that which is good to the use of edifying. That which is good to build up. Every word is useful for something. Only choose the words that are useful for building up. You can use a word that's useful for tearing down. You can use a word that's useful for hurting someone. You can use a word that's useful for paying somebody back. But he says, only use the words that are edifying. They're not necessarily what you want to say, but they're building up of other people. Notice what he says, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So the idea for every godly Christian and every home to be sweet is that everybody in the home, that Ethan, you, and Grace, you, yes, and Carmen, you, and Joel, you, and that family, every one of them say, I want a purpose to use the right words. And if everybody's struggling to say, Lord, help me, and everybody's saying, Lord, this, and whenever we say the wrong word, we look at each other and say, Michaela, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Caroline, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have said that the way I said it. Would you forgive me, Caroline? Would you forgive me, Michaela? If Brother Scott says to Philip, you know, Philip, I was just frustrated and I got things on my mind. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it quite like that. Would you forgive me? We could change the sweetness in all of our homes. But somebody has got a purpose that every word is fit and acceptable. Do you want a sweet marriage? You want a sweet home? Young people, you can affect your home. You can make things better. You can learn to talk to your brother or sister with fit words. But you too have to purpose, Lord, I want my words to be acceptable in your sight. You have to memorize in your heart the words, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Remember, there is a way you ought to answer everybody. And Christians have got to find that ought to way. We've got to find the way that is right, that is necessary, that is encouraging, that is uplifting. It says, you use your words to edify one another, to build each other up. I said that was the last one. I want you to take one more verse. I get going in the home and Acts, if you would. I want you to notice Acts chapter 15. We're going to close with this illustration. Acts 15, verse number 37. Now, I think both men did the wrong thing. And both men did not find the right word. But both men were great Christians. So it tells me all of us had better be very careful. And Barnabas determined to take with them Mark, whose surname was Mark. Now, does anybody know why he determined to take John Mark? It was his nephew. It was his family. Now listen very carefully. Learn one lesson along with all these right words. Right is thicker than blood. Do what's right no matter if it's family or not. Just because it's family, you don't protect family, you protect right. Right is thicker than blood. You always want to do the right thing. So if Barnabas would have taken a step back and said, well, I know that John Mark quit on us. And the Bible says in Acts 13 that he just left and went back. Now, if I look at it from John Mark's point of view, Paul's about ready to get martyred. He's about ready to get stoned to death. And he can sense the tension rising. He says, yeah, I don't want to get stoned. So he gets afraid and goes home. He's a young Christian. You can understand that, but it doesn't mean it was right. And so Barnabas is sitting there saying, well, I want to protect my nephew and I want him to go with us. And so he determined he's going. And Paul said, well, you know, he quit once. I'm certain that the words were not right. Notice, if you would, in verse number 39. And the contention. Pride bringeth contention. He's going. No, he's not going. And two of the greatest Christians to ever live fought with their words. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. So understand, Paul didn't do something wicked. Barnabas didn't do something wicked. It was a family member that got in between them because he got afraid, quit. And Paul didn't want quitters around him. He wanted soldiers that could take the fight. And Barnabas had a little bit softer heart. Barnabas was a good man. If you have your Bible, flip back to Acts chapter 11. You're going to see a little bit about Barnabas. Verse 23, who when he came had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all. He lifted them up, and with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord, he gave them the right instructions. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Barnabas won people to Christ, lots of them, because of his pleasant spirit. Christians, don't lose your pleasant spirit. Because if you do, you'll lose your pleasant words. Now, let's take a couple steps back. John Mark goes with his uncle. And John Mark is encouraged by Barnabas. And I'm certain that Barnabas spent time with him and gave him edifying words. And said, Barnabas, John Mark, I understand sometimes that life can be fearful, but we have to learn to trust the Lord. Remember, he was a man full of faith. He's trying to give that faith to John Mark. And in the end, you know what Paul said in Timothy? He said, bring John Mark. He is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, Mark, Barnabas was right. But he was wrong in spirit. We have to learn to be right with our words and right with our spirit. Either one wrong can cause separation. Tonight, let's purpose. I want to be right with my words. Let's decide that we're going to protect from the wrong words. Never use curse words. Never use lying words. Everyone here tonight, promise the Lord. Lord, I don't want to use these words. Never use harsh words. Never use vengeful words. Never use hateful words. Lord, protect me. And then, Lord, help me to pick the right words. Lord, help me to pick words of encouragement. Help me to pick words that are apples of gold in pictures of silver. They edify one another and lift people up. Tonight, what are you known for? I see Joseph in prison, sold as a slave, in the position of absolute power. His brothers comes back and he says, Lord, give me the right words. His brothers said, well, Daddy told us we ought to apologize to you. Daddy said we didn't do what's right. And Daddy's gone and we're worried that you're going to be mean to us. And Daddy told us to apologize to you. And he looked at him and said, look, it's forgiven. I'll take care of you. And he encouraged them with his words. They didn't deserve it. But Joseph did the right thing. Tonight, Barnabas did the right thing in the end. But I'm guaranteed you can learn the lesson doing the right thing with the right attitude. Every one of you children, learn to use the right words with the right attitude. Every one of us parents, husbands and wives, let's purpose. I want to use the right words. Words that are encouraging. Words that lift people up. Folks, tonight if you'll do that, the Bible says God will bless you richly. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. You want a sweet home? Speak right with the right attitude. We're going to have a word of prayer. And maybe tonight you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, protect me from the wrong words. Maybe you've got a habit of using some wrong words. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Maybe you're tonight and you say, Lord, I need to pick more right words. Help me, Lord. Give me wisdom that I can pick the right words at school. When other people are talking about teachers and talking about other students, help me to pick the right words. Lord, protect me. But you first got to do is purpose in your heart that you're going to let the Lord be the judge. Tonight, if you need to do any of those three things, I'd encourage you to come to this altar tonight. And the Lord will make your home sweet. Sweet every day. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray.